How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
We will definitely not burn the Quran.
If you could build a church on a site, you could build a synagogue on a site, if you could build a Hindu temple on a site, then you should be able to build a mosque on the site.
If I knew this would cause this kind of pain, I would not have done it. Given that, why don't you undo it, or at least do it differently from this point on?
We are exploring all options as we speak right now.
One can't prove that God doesn't exist, but science makes God unnecessary.
I can't help thinking that when Hawking talks about this grand design, the final theory that explains everything, doesn't that appeal at some level to the scientist's desire to be a bit like God?
Florida truck drivers love Issues Etc.
No, there really must have been something in the water back in the second and third centuries in northern Africa, because it was producing some of the greatest minds, some of the greatest theologians and churchmen that the church has ever known. One is remembered on this day, Thursday, September the 16th, Cyprian of Carthage. He was a fast-tracked bishop and then martyred, and we have account of his martyrdom. Pastor Heath Curtis will join us here in the first few minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc., to remember, along with the rest of the church, Cyprian of Carthage. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number for the next hour of the program, a little bit later, we'll be doing a sermon review. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us a tweet at IssuesETC or an email here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little bit later, as I said, an old-fashioned sermon review here on Issues, Etc. We'll be reviewing a very special sermon, one preached Saturday by Bishop Walter Obari of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya at the installation service for Pastor Matt Harrison as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, a Southern Hemisphere perspective on not only law and gospel, but also on the whole state of the confessional Lutheran Church in the world. That's coming up during our sermon review. Joining us to talk about Cyprian of Carthage, Pastor Heath Curtis. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be here.
This is not unique for the early church, but what was going on that, if I'm reading the bio correctly, Cyprian, born about 200 A.D., he's 46 before he becomes a Christian, and yet 2 years later, he's a bishop. How did that fast track work? Why was that considered something necessary in the early church?
Yeah, this happens, the other famous case of this, and it's almost an exact parallel in their careers, is St. Ambrose. Both St. Ambrose and St. Cyprian were originally lawyers, secular lawyers, and in the late Roman world and really throughout the Roman Empire, this was the profession. If you were a well-born young man, you went into the law or into the army or some combination of the two, and so they were leaders in their community who then became interested in Christianity. And so when it came time to look for a leader for the church, they naturally looked to these men who were just simply known as leaders in the community. And in the case of both of them, they were ordained in very quick succession. They were baptized, ordained a deacon, ordained a presbyter, a priest, and then ordained bishop.
Tell us about his life. Born as a pagan, where does it go from there?
Yeah, he has this career that we don't know too much about. We just know that he was known for his rhetoric. And in fact, one encyclopedia entry for him even mentions that he's not really known as a great and deep thinker or theologian. He's a capable administrator of the church, and at a very important time, because just within a year of his being appointed the Bishop of Carthage, Emperor Decius comes to the throne and instigates one of the first empire-wide persecutions of the church. The first one where really it came down from on high that all the bishops that could be found were to be killed, and Christians were to be tortured and imprisoned and sent to the mines. And so this is the big issue for Cyprian, is how is the church going to survive this? At first, he wants to stay at Carthage. He's convinced that that will only cause more trouble for the Christians in Carthage and for the church, because if he's killed, then the church will be without a leader, because how are you going to appoint a new bishop if they're killing all the bishops? And so he goes into hiding. He is greatly looked down upon for this by his enemies, who say, you know, he's running away from persecution, while his brothers and sisters in Christ are having every manner of persecution brought against them, torture. Women are raped, people are killed. It's every bad thing you can think of is going on. Much of it motivated by greed, because, of course, not only is this an issue of killing Christians, you know, why would the empire is not going to be in this just for some theological reason, you know, we're going back to paganism. No, the church is wealthy, and individual members of the church are wealthy, and everyone that you can kill or imprison, their property is confiscated. And under old Roman law, whoever brings a prosecution gets to keep somewhere between a fifth and a third of the proceeds. So you send out all these money-hungry officials into the provinces to kill Christians and take their stuff. And the controversy that arises after this is, what do you do with these people who have denied the Christian faith under torture? You know, today I think we have a very naturally understanding perspective on that. I think we would say that someone who denies the faith under torture, you know, they're not liable for that. You know, every man has his breaking point and so forth. The early church looked at penance in a much different way. In fact, let me just read, this is actually from, you know, about 100 years later, 75 years later. This is from one of the canons of the Council of Nicaea. And they say, this is Canon 11, concerning those who have fallen away without compulsion and so forth. So this is how they would deal with somebody who fell away without torture. They say, as many as were communicants, if they heartily repent, they shall pass 3 years among the hearers, that is, among the catechumens. Then for 7 years they shall be prostrators, people who are able to kneel through the communion service but not receive communion. And for 2 years they shall communicate with the people in prayers. And so that's a total of 12 years. People were expected to stay away from the Lord's Supper. And Cyprian was an advocate of penance on this order when it came to people who had fallen away. And our first reaction might be to judge that as very harsh, but I actually, you know, having been out in the parish for a while, I wonder what we're missing in the church today when it comes to people who have committed public, big sins. It's just a matter of, you know, I'm sorry, and we take them at their word, and they're back in full fellowship with the church. There's a lot to be said for that, too. You know, I think I could make a biblical case for both extremes, but I wonder if we shouldn't meet somewhere in the middle. And so this is a very interesting time for students of church history and students of how the church should live with people who have committed manifest, open, public sins. The question is, what does true repentance look like?
Do we have an account of Cyprian's martyrdom? He is eventually martyrdom.
Yeah, we have, oh goodness, what is his name? Proscius or Prospertane? Or, we have his secretary, someone who knew him essentially, writes a life of him. And he was a Roman citizen, so eventually he is beheaded for his faith. He does go back to Carthage after initially being hiding out in the countryside for a while. He does eventually return, and himself is martyred. I think in either 249 or 250. He just was not a martyr for. No, I take that back. 258. He's beheaded.
In the end, we have a guy who lived at a very volatile time, theologically and politically, sociologically, in the church. A time when it was dangerous to be a Christian. What can we learn from his life? With only about a minute here, what can we learn from his life in a time when it's not dangerous at all, for us at least here, to be a Christian? About a minute.
Well, the first one has got to be great Thanksgiving. I think as you know from other conversations we've had, I am not the biggest fan of worldly power and government. But this is something that we can really be thankful for in our day. With as much as we all like to complain about the government, as much as we like to complain about the world around us, we still live, relatively speaking, in the course of Christian history, we live in a very free land. Here in North America, we are very blessed to be able to exercise our religion as the Lord has given it to us. So first, we should look at these stories of the martyrs and be thankful.
Let's take a break here. I want to get your second point in, and we'll do it on the other side of the break, Heath. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We'll have just one more minute or so with him on the other side of the break, talking about 3rd century bishop and martyr Cyprian of Carthage. Let him make his second point about what we learn from a man who suffered persecution, watched his fellow Christians suffer persecution, eventually martyred him in a time when it was literally dangerous to be a Christian. And we dwell here in the 21st century, and it's hardly dangerous at all. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. Then we'll do our sermon review.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Are you looking for a new devotional resource? Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is titled God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase God Granted by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Christ-centered, cross-focused devotional resource, God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. In just a few minutes, we'll review a sermon preached Saturday by Bishop Walter Obari of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Kenya at the installation service for Pastor Matt Harrison as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. In the meantime, Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We're talking about Cyprian of Carthage, 3rd century bishop and martyr. Okay, we were talking before the break about what we should learn from this man's life and confession of faith, and there are many others that would fall into this category, living at a time when Christianity was dangerous, and we live at a time when we are free. You said first, great Thanksgiving. What's the second point?
The second one is to remember our fellow Christians around the world today who are undergoing the same kind of persecution that Cyprian and his flock in Carthage underwent. Because while we are very blessed here in North America with freedom to follow Christ, that is not so all over the world. And so let always the example of the martyrs not only inspire our faith, but inspire us to prayer and to acts of mercy for our Christians around the world.
One more real quick question. I understand that at least one of his essays, Cyprian's essays, survives on the unity of the Catholic Church. Do you know much about it?
Yeah, that's the where the famous quote comes from. You cannot have God as your father if you do not have the church as your mother. And it's a beautiful little piece that Cyprian does there because he's writing at a time when the unity of Christians is a unity of flowing blood, at a time when you really felt connected to your fellow Christians because you were suffering together. So it's certainly worth a read.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Heath, it's always a pleasure, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Ted.